This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Let's get going with...
Yeah, we've got the weekly, well, fortnightly movie reviews with Stephen A. Russell. I believe we've got Stephen on the phone.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, lovely.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm sorry I'm not there with you, but I've been gallivanting in Sydney for the film festival up there.
Right, okay. How's it been?
It's been fabulous. And up until today, when it is now bucketing down, it has been in the toasty 20s as well. So it's been movies and then grabbing the sun rays in between. I've been spoiled.
Oh, good. Well, enjoy. Because when you come back to Melbourne, although the weather's not too bad today.
It's nice today, yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. So let's start with your movie reviews.
Yeah, I thought I might quickly just talk about a couple that I've seen at the festival here that are coming out reasonably soon, if you can indulge me for a minute, David.
I'd love to hear that.
Well, Carla, the one that absolutely, you know, I've seen two that blew me away, but the one that I just find is such a kooky little film, and it's coming out at the end of this month, at June 27th. Is Parasite by Bong Joon-ho. Now, he's the South Korean director who did, I don't know if you saw the genetically modified pig movie with Tilda Swinton, Okja, on Netflix.
It sounds like you're talking another language, no.
That one looked too sad for me to watch.
No, and he also did Snowpiercer, which you might have seen.
I've seen that one.
Dystopian train movie. Yeah. Well, look, he's renowned for doing really unusual films that are very quirky, that have a real dark and cheeky sense of humour. And one of his regular actors, Song Kang-ho, has been in a whole bunch of them. I think he's in Okja, Snowpiercer, The Host, which is a monster movie. He basically plays the dad of this working-class family. There's four of them crammed in a basement. Like, they're literally climbing on top of the toilet to try and steal other people's Wi-Fi. So that gives you a sort of a sense of...
Sounds like my house.
Basically, just like all of us. And the concept of this one is so fun. Basically, his son gets an offer to step in as the tutor of the young daughter of a rich family. So, while his friend is away. And what he then does, and going to the name of the film Parasite, is he fakes university credentials to become a math tutor. Then busts his sister in as well, who he pretends isn't his sister, and pretends that she's an art therapist for their troublesome young son. Then they get their dad in as the driver by, various nefarious means, and also their mum to be the housekeeper. So bit by bit, they basically inveigle their way into the life of these super rich people. And I won't say any more, because it's one of those films that, it does you a service to go in knowing absolutely nothing about it. But all I'll say is it's magnificent. It is the sort of film where you'll find yourself cheering for really bad people and then feeling a bit guilty about it. that's a 4.5 for me, guys.
Wow, that's, you loved it.
Yeah, and is that coming down to the Melbourne Film Festival, or...?
I think it's actually being released before it's actually out at the end of this month, so it'll be in cinemas
couple of weeks.
At the end. In a couple of weeks, so look out for that one. Okay. It gave me some evil chuckles, that's all.
I think you're revealing more about yourself, Stephen, than you'd care to.
Well, I think regular listeners will probably know that I have a bit of a warped sense of humour. So,
what else has tickled your fancy?
Well, look, the other one I really blew me away here, you might have heard about it because it's been sort of in the news, and that is the Babadook director Jennifer Kent's second feature, The Nightingale.
Mm.
And it's been in the news a little bit because it's set in 1825 in Tasmania, when the British Army are, in the midst of colonising and basically wiping out the indigenous population.
Yep. Which they did in Tasmania.
Well, completely.
Yep.
So, you know, basically, this film features, trigger warning, it features, you know, features pretty graphic violence and also sexual violence.
Oh.
So there've been a handful of walkouts, basically. And I think what it raises is an interesting question, I guess, is about whether, you know, how far can you take a movie? Can it be challenging? Can it be uncomfortable? And look, I we watch films like Tarantino that do this stuff, and they do it as dark humour.
Yep. Mm.
And to be honest, I actually think if you're going to go there, and look, our history is dark. We all know that, right? You know, if you're going to take a realistic look at what happened, then I kind of feel that it does it more justice to present it realistically and not as funny, basically.
Mm.
Look, it's not going to be for everyone, but if you've ever watched, you know, the serial killer series with Gillian Anderson, The Fall.
Yep. Oh, I love The Fall. I love it.
Yes. So do you remember the young girl who kind of creepily had a crush for serial killer?
Yeah.
So Aisling Franciosi, that Irish actress, she plays Claire, who is basically a convict working towards her, you know, her freedom, and she's under the thumb of horrible British actor. Well, no, he's not horrible, but Sam Claflin, the British actor who was in the Hunger Games movies, plays this horrible British lieutenant who's basically, you know, abusing her. And without giving too much away, something terrible happens, and he heads off to go from Hobart to Launceston through the centre of the island. And she goes off on a vengeance quest to bring right to his wrongs, and on the way she kind of recruits an indigenous tracker played by a spectacular newcomer, Bekali Ganambar, and this guy is incredible. He's got such charisma. When this film debuted at the Venice Film Festival, this young indigenous guy, he won Best Young Actor at the Venice Film Festival for it. So look, it's a film that's going to be confronting for a lot of people. It'll probably be at MIFF, I reckon. It's out in August. But, I think there's a lot of worth to a film that is, you know, unflinching in the way that it deals with our history. And if you are into that sort of Tarantino, you know, Kill Bill, Uma Thurman, sort of women, wronged women, sets the world to right, you might find something in The Nightingale, which I'm giving 5 stars.
Wow.
Life-changing.
Yeah. It blew me away, Luke. It really did. It's a hard film to watch, but my goodness, I came out of this thinking, wow, what a masterpiece. I really did.
She's an incredible director.
I suppose
she's
in film.
She really is. I know. And look, she's big news now, you know, that she can basically do whatever she wants. So let's go a little bit lighter, shall we?
Yes, please.
It was a bit dark for us.
I know. We went, it's all right. We're going to go light again.
Give us the pick of the popcorn flicks, Stephen.
Yep. So here's the popcorn for this week. Okay. In cinemas at the moment, we have the reboot of Men in Black International.
Yes.
And then it is directed by Straight Outta Compton's F. Gary Gray. And it's written by the guys who wrote the original Iron Man film. And it stars, in place of, you know, Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, you now have, who it's sort of vaguely acknowledged that this is the same world just 20 years later. And we now have agents played by Tessa Thompson and Australian Chris Hemsworth.
Mm.
And people might recognise them both from Thor Ragnarok.
I think we know who Chris Hemsworth
well,
is. I don't think there's any Australian.
We all know who.
I think we all know who Chris is.
Yeah.
You know, and we should all know who Tessa is. She's a brilliant British actress. But, you know, she's not quite as famous yet as Mr. Hemsworth.
She might be after this.
So what's it like? Is it, you know, like, I'm not a big fan of those films. What's it like?
And when you say it's a reboot, is it, like, meant to be sort of a reincarnation of the original film just now?
No. So it's set in the same universe, different characters all this time on.
Okay.
So what happened in the past did happen.
Right.
Okay.
And I thought, I thought the first one was actually quite fun. It was, you know, it was very kooky and quirky, and it had loads of crazy alien design, which was really fun. This is a crashing bore, honestly. Ooh. I just sat there staring at it and thinking, how did they get this so wrong?
Wow.
Like, they are great together in Thor Ragnarok, and I feel like someone's, I don't know, wiped their memories or something, which is...
Well, that's not what happened.
I was going to say, that's very Men in Black.
I know, exactly. I think they've had their memories wiped. They've got no chemistry together in this one. It's crashingly unfunny. There's not much plot, there's not much drama. Look, what I will say for it is it has a fabulous cameo by Emma Thompson, the brilliant British Emma Thompson.
Well, she's amazing. I love anything she does.
Jeez, yeah, God. And look, David, she is in about 2 minutes at the start and 2 minutes at the end. Oh. And let me tell you, they're the best 4 minutes of this film.
Does she save the film? Or?
So it's a rousing thumbs down from Stephen.
How many stars?
I don't know if we've done this yet, but I'm giving this a star.
No stars?
Big zero.
I'll give it one for Emma Thompson. She gets one all.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. She deserves it.
And look, exactly, she is an absolute rock-solid legend, you know? It doesn't matter. It can be the worst film in the world, and she'll still be brilliant in those bits, you know? Yeah. And last but not least, it's not the least, definitely not the least. Men in Black is definitely the least. Tolkien, which is a biopic of the young years of, you know, the famous Lord of the Rings author.
That's right, yes.
R.R. Tolkien.
What? Because I'm really interested in this because I love the books. And what's it like?
Look, it's been getting a bit of a bad rap, a level with you guys, you know. Not critics haven't been super kind to it. But and the director, Dom Kirakosi, he did Tom of Finland, which I thought was a bit of a blah biopic of such a, you know, erotic cult figure. But look, I think he's done a really good job here. Like, so you have Nicholas Holt, who's also in the very rubbish X-Men film at the moment, but he plays the young author, and I think it does a really, really good job of showing how his experiences in the trenches in World War One.
It looks terrible. I've seen some of the footage from it. Oh gosh, you know, like your heart. How horrible it would have been in that First World War.
And like, exactly. And when you see that, and when you see, you know, that experience, and all the death and all the fire and all the dirt. You can see where Mordor comes from. Yeah. You can see where the idea of Sauron comes from, you know?
Interesting.
It really is about, you know, that great evil and the kind of wants to consume the world.
Yeah.
And you totally, you really feel it there, you know? And look, I was really quite moved by this one. And I think if you're a bit of a literary geek like I am, I think there's, you know, I think you'll appreciate it. And I also wanted to do a quick shout out to Lily Collins, who a young up and coming actress who was in Mirror Mirror, who is great as the future wife Edith. And for all the darkness, the romance between them brings a bit of a spark of life to it. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I think I'm going to give this one 3.5.
Right.
Guys.
Okay. So that's solid. That's a solid film.
Mm. Yep. Yeah.
All right, Stephen. Enjoy your time in Sydney, and we'll see you in a fortnight's time.
Back in Melbourne in a fortnight. Cheers, guys.
All right.
Bye. See you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.